Okay, so we're going to practice using the Lambda service. And when you go in Lambda, you may end up on this screen, but there's another screen I really like. And so if you're in your URL, you replace /discover/begin, you may end up on this screen, which I really like because it has an educational value I want to show you. So Lambda is here to help you run code without thinking about servers, and this makes it a truly serverless service. So the idea is that we can use any type of programming language we want, for example, .NET Core, Go, Java, Node.js, Python, Ruby, or any custom runtime if you want to have a runtime provided by an open source project, for example, the Lambda Rust runtime is possible. And so from this code, you will have it written, uploaded into the Lambda console, and then AWS Lambda will run the code for you. So let's take a very simple code. For example, Python, we have a Lambda handler. It's going to print the event and then say, return hello from Lambda. So let's click on run, and we get hello from Lambda. So that means that the Lambda function just ran the code that we have provided right here. Very simple, right? Next, how do Lambda functions get invoked? So we can click on the run button, obviously, but also we can have Lambda respond to events. And this is what I want to show you. I think it's really cool. So as we can see, events can come from various sources. For example, in this one, this is streaming analytics. And so as the streaming analytics is sending events into a Lambda function, the Lambda function is returning hello from Lambda, hello from Lambda, hello from Lambda, and so on. But it's not just the streaming analytics. If you click on the phone right here, it's going to send a message into a mobile IoT backend. And this IoT backend will also invoke our Lambda function. Same for if we take a photo and upload it into an S3 bucket for data processing, then the Lambda function will be invoked. But the cool thing is that if you start clicking a lot on one of these sources, you can see on the right-hand side, we have more cogwheels. So as the left-hand side flow and invocations of Lambda scales, then the number of Lambda invocations and concurrent Lambda functions running will be scaling as well. So it's really cool because that means that as we have more load, automatically Lambda will scale with our load. And that is a whole power of using Lambda as a compute platform. And this is why Lambda is serverless and it scales really well. So if we go in here, as we can see, as the Lambda function is invoked, we get more invocations over time and the cost remains zero because there's a free tier. And as soon as we will pass 1 million invocations, then the Lambda function will start incurring some charges. So if we go in there and start having over 1 million invocations, here we go. Now we're getting some sense. As you can see, we are at almost 2 million invocations and we have only 14 cents as a cost. So it's very, very, very cost efficient to have a Lambda function and to run some workload at scale. So as you can see, you can play around and seeing that the more you have invocations, the more the cost goes, but it's really, really controlled. And Lambda can be quite a cost saving mechanism if you use it at scale. So this is just for the introduction to Lambda. So if I click on create a function, I can choose between three options. And I'm going to choose to use a blueprint for this one. And it's going to be the hello world function. So I'm just going to search by hello world. And then I will choose the Python version. So Python 3.10 in this example, but this could be a different version for you as long as it's Python. Next, for the function name, we're going to enter demo minus Lambda. And then we're going to create a new role with basic Lambda permissions. This is going to be the IAM role of our Lambda function. Then we can have a look at the function code. So this is what a Lambda function looks like. So we have a Lambda handler. This is the function actually handles the event of invoking our Lambda function. And right now it just prints a bunch of values and returns the key one. So we'll have a look at this in details when we test our function. So when you're ready, just click on create function. Okay, so my function is created. And as we can see, the code has the code source in here. And if I click on lambdafunction.py and open it, we can see that the function code we had from before is now loaded into this code editor. So why don't we go ahead and test this function? So I'm going to click on test, and we need to create a new test event, which is a hello world event, which contains key 1 value 1, key 2 value 2, key 3 value 3 as a JSON document. So I'll call this one demo event and click on create. So now the demo event was successfully saved. So if I click on test now, it was going to run the demo event and the response is value 1. The function log is that value 1 equals value 1, value 2 equals value 2, value 3 equals value 3, which is just a result of this three print statements. And finally, the response value is value 1, again, due to this line of code. So it may not look like much, but from a programmer's perspective, as you can see, you had just some code. And it was uploaded into Lambda. And then it was run by Lambda very quickly. So this is a huge improvement if you're a developer, as you can see, to deploy the code and have it run. But on top of it, it runs seamlessly and it will scale automatically and it is fully serverless. Okay, we didn't deploy any servers. Now in terms of build duration, so if you go in here and scroll down, sorry, then as you can see, the duration was 2.32 milliseconds. We've been billed for 3 milliseconds of execution. And here's the memory size that we've provisioned and the one that was used and how much the init was, because this is the first time that we use our Lambda function. Now, if I run it again, oops, if I go back to my function, excuse me, and run this one again, as we can see now, the function duration was 1.33 milliseconds. And on the right-hand side, there was no initiation because my Lambda function was ready to be used, okay? So that's one way of doing things. Now, the other thing I want to show you is that from this Lambda function, we're able to configure it. So if I go into general configuration, we get some of the most important settings. The first one is around memory. So we can have the memory from anywhere between 128 megabytes up to 10,240 megabytes of memory. Obviously, if you have more memory, you're going to get billed more. In terms of timeouts, we can go anywhere between 3 seconds or 5 seconds all the way to, as you can see, 15 minutes. So the maximum timeout is 15 minutes, but you want to make sure that you only use the function for the time that you think is going to be used for. And then the execution role is the one that was created by Lambda in the beginning. Okay, so those are some of the most important settings, okay? And the other thing we can look at is monitoring. So in monitoring, we're able to see what is going on with the Lambda function. So how many times it was invoked, so here one time, how long it lasted, whether or not there was errors or successes, and so on. So it could be quite helpful, but we have integration with CloudWatch metrics and also CloudWatch logs. So right now we have nothing, but we could look at the CloudWatch logs right now when the function runs. So to do so, just refresh on the right-hand side the recent invocations, and we can see that there's a log stream right here. So if I click on it, I am taken directly into the CloudWatch logs, and we can see that on the CloudWatch logs, we have all the logs of the invocation of this Lambda function, and this is within a log group called AWS Lambda, Demo Lambda, and Demo Lambda is the name of my Lambda function within my region, obviously, and we have one log stream right here. So we get all the logs into Lambdas, and other things you can try is to modify the code. For example, if we take this code, we go to the Lambda function, and I will comment this line of code by adding a hashtag and uncomment this one. This is going to raise an exception. So to do so, I need to first deploy the changes by clicking on deploy. Now the changes have been deployed. And now I can test my function. And in this type, we get a execution result, which is an error, where something went wrong. Type is exception, as we can see. Something went wrong, which was triggered by this code or line of code right here. So any type of errors also will be reported by Lambda. And you could look into CloudWatch logs to understand as well where the log of the error happens. So if I go back into CloudWatch logs, there's a second log stream right here, which I'm going to open, and we get this exception right here. So it's possible for us to go back as well to the logs of the exception within CloudWatch logs to understand the root cause of the issue. So fairly easy. Now, if you want to make the function run again, fine, you just reverse what you did and you click on test. And again, now this time, this Lambda execution function will work. So some of the last things we may want to check out is the fact that in here, the runtime settings, we're running Python 3.7 in this example, but you may get an updated version maybe on your end. And the handler is Lambda function.lambdahandler, which is saying to look at the Lambda function.py file and the function name Lambda handler. So if we go up, we can see the function name is lambda_function.py. And within it, we have the lambda_handler function. So this is why it knew to invoke this function particularly. Also, we have written to CloudWatch logs. And the reason we were able to do so is that if we go into the configuration of our Lambda and go to the permissions tabs, we have a role name called demo Lambda role that was created for us by the Lambda console. And if you look at the policy itself, we can see within the policy summary that we have access to write to CloudWatch logs, which is something you can also see right here by resource summary, that CloudWatch logs has 3 actions on 2 resources, which allow us to create log stream and log groups and also send the logs to CloudWatch logs. So this is the whole idea behind this permissions tabs right here. So that's it for this lecture. I hope you liked it. And if you are in the Certified Developer course on AWS, then get ready for an extra few hours of content on Lambda. And if you're not, well, this is enough for your exam. I hope you liked it, and I will see you in the next lecture.